This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate lightweight, super packable travel shoes from Allbirds. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
We are actuaries. In a world filled with unpredictability, we use our math skills to navigate uncertainty. Actuaries make a difference in people's lives across industries and the world. Actuaries have the freedom to work anywhere. And according to U.S. News & World Report, we're the 25th top-paying career. Make an impact as a fact-seeker and a truth-teller. Use your math skills for good as an actuary. The world needs you.
Sportsfeld, things are nice and calm.
Yeah.
Nothing to worry about. Summer's here.
This is definitely the calmest, most casual show we've had in months.
Feels good, man.
It's great.
I feel relaxed.
Yeah.
How are you feeling?
I'm okay. I just choked on nothing a second ago, so my head kind of hurts.
You'll do that now and then.
From choking, but other than that, I'm great.
We are post-parade. We've got titles. We got a new banner coming.
It's transaction time, baby.
Fitted for rings, and now it's time for the best part of the season. The off season.
It's your favorite.
It is. It truly, honest to God, is. And our guests will be able to relate to me at this point.
Yes. But it's a very off season heavy excitement.
Winning a title means you are furthest behind in the off season.
It also means that the off season is 3 days long.
Immediately.
Which is great.
That is too true. The parade was Monday and the draft is Thursday.
Which is today.
And today is Thursday.
I love, obviously, winning the title is amazing.
It was great.
But I truly
great.
I love, there's no, month of,
hell no.
What could have been's or whatever. You just get, 3 days of happiness and then transaction time.
Booyah.
It's great.
It's time to
love it.
Watch other teams draft players.
Because
imagine.
Who needs a draft pick?
Imagine having your happiness ride on a player you've never actually seen play.
I mean, you don't need lottery picks
for
a title. So.
Absolutely right. That is true. Having a lottery pick is
whatever.
For poor people.
Yeah.
I heard a good analogy that the Raptors winning a title without a draft pick, it's a lot like Bill Gates dropping out of school. It's a cool example, but it doesn't.
It's not
I wouldn't use that as the basis going forward. Anyway, we've got my favorite guest. I'll say it.
I mean, I think it's everyone's favorite guest.
One of my favorite people on the whole planet.
Well,
to be totally honest with you. Blake Murphy rejoins the show again.
Hey guys,
back to the well.
The confetti has been scooped up, the champagne is dry, and we are ready to get back into the transactions, baby. Let's go.
So let's find someone who knows what they're talking about.
Somebody had to do it. I was so proud. I'm so proud of my friend Blake because it's so easy to just spend this entire week continuing to write the all caps. What does it all mean? Yada yada yada. Hell no. We have salary cap implications. We have
what do you expect?
Second round.
Blake's going to coast on.
We get the 53rd overall pick to worry about.
Yeah. Do you want to enjoy the championship, or do you want to know how much Kyle Lowry's bonuses affected the luxury tax?
Yeah,
absolutely right.
What did he make in incentives, and how does that affect us going forward?
What of Malcolm Miller's opportunity that's coming?
Absolutely.
Blake,
look,
thank you.
We joke, but the worst thing you could do after a championship is sit back and not try to win another one immediately.
Absolutely true.
You gotta do this stuff.
You don't want to be the 2011 Mavericks.
We had a day where it was we're gonna soak it in, and now it's time to get greedy. Let's get three straight. Let's threepeat. Let's go.
Why stop at three?
Hell yes.
What's the quiet thing? Fuck it. Let's get both.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, expletive it. We don't know that it was the F word.
He could have said
heck it.
Yeah.
I guess in Nick Nurse's Iowan brain,
heckin is a swear.
Yeah.
This is our first time talking to you since after the title.
Yeah.
How did it all feel for you as a impartial member of the media, but somebody who has been along for this ride since day one?
It was cool, man. It's one of those things where obviously I didn't do anything, and I have to be objective.
Put up pieces is what you did.
You didn't do anything to build the team, but
I did alert them that they were violating the CBA at the trade deadline. No, but like, I'm not celebrating something that I did, and right. you have to kind of keep some level of impartiality. But it's also really cool. Like, you're around these people every day, and like, whether or not you're like quote unquote rooting for them as a fan, there's still people you interact with and see all the time, and you get to see them in the happiest moments of their lives.
Right.
And then also, like, a huge part of my job is interacting with Raptors fans, and then you just get to see everyone so happy for such an extended amount of time. Looking back at like the actual night they won the title, I think I probably skewed too far toward like acting like I'd been there before and like being serious about my work. like not that I would have been like popping bottles or something, but like I took podium room duty when other people went to the locker room, and like I wrote four things and didn't drink that night myself. I kind of think I should have leaned into it a little bit more. I didn't even get that much champagne on me.
Doesn't sound like you.
Only when Danny Green ran out of the locker room and hosed the media down.
Well, you'll get another chance next year to.
You got to stay true to who you are.
Yeah. It was really fun though. Like, obviously, the biggest part is how happy everyone is. Like, from the player side, from the fan side, some of the front office people and coaching staff people I've gotten to know who are just, you know, elated, and like those people who no one will ever know what they contributed, but they get to share in that, and like they're on the parade floats and stuff like that, has been really cool. And then also, Kyle Lowry getting to basically just flip off all the haters was probably my favorite thing of that night, where he just like sat at the podium and it was just like, yep, you guys could say all that stuff. Like, I'm untouchable now.
In my face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What was it like? I know like your sort of fandom side can't fully come out just being with what your job is, but like, you were in the building, you've obviously been a fan of this team for a long time. What's that sort of like dichotomy like of like fan versus reporter but being in the building for such a historic moment for the franchise?
Yeah, it's cool. Like the day of game five, when they were up 3-1 in Toronto, I was sitting at home and I was like, it was a 9 o'clock local start, so it's like the most excruciatingly long day ever. I'd already written what I could write. It's one thing I miss about Raptors Republic. I would do pregame news and notes that would go up 2 hours before the game. So if I was ever anxious, I always had something that I could just write to take my mind off of it. So I had nothing. So I was just sitting there at home and I was like, well, maybe I'll try to like start pre-writing something. And I was like, no, I can't do it. Then I went to a coffee shop and that didn't work. And then I went into the arena. And then finally I was thinking about like what it would be like. And I could like, it was weird. And I wrote this in my like, at the buzzer column, like I could sit there and like I could make the hair on my arm stand up thinking about it, but like I had no idea what it would like actually feel like. And then the actual night, like we're sitting press row, and like fortunately enough, I'm beside Will Liu, who is like in a game like that is the absolute best and worst person to watch a game with, because every high is like the highest and every low is a disaster.
Of course.
So I don't know, like there was like, he like kind of gave me a hug in the press box. I was like, yo, man, like fist bump only.
This is selfie smoking a cigar in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Posting.
Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know. There were a couple moments like that where it's like, I don't really know where the line is. And like, I don't think there's like a right answer. Like there were some media who like leaned into it and like, you'd think that they won it too. And there were some media who were completely removed from it. And I think that, you know, sometimes I think that our like the self-seriousness of the job is a little too much. Like, I take my job seriously and I try to be objective, but there are also times where I'm like, this is all kind of absurd, and like, it's hardcore fans reading my work. Like, it's okay to fan service a little bit and like show that emotion. So I don't know. I kind of went back and forth on where that line was, and I feel like on Twitter I let it out, and then like in the actual seriousness of the job, I was like, no, this is
work. I'm a You're professional. At work, right.
Yeah. It's how I've kind of taken the approach to the entire year, is that like, enjoy my, someone else said this too, I can't remember who, but like, enjoy my tweets, but judge me by my work.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I think that's fair.
I think you toed the line wonderfully.
Yeah.
Yeah. Frankly. It's the whole, you know, the in the streets, in the sheets.
That's
thing.
Right. At no point was
in
I
this
like,
case, the sheets is the spreadsheets.
Yeah. That's right. At no point was I like, whoa, Blake's really, whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was like, where's the fucking cap column? Obviously, there's a lot of variables going forward, and it's hard. They're in a unique place, right, with Kawhi being the piece that matters. It's hard, I assume, for you to properly preview what's about to come when that one piece sort of determines everything, right? Like, there's two very distinct paths they're about to go down. How much foresight do you have in through both lanes right now, you forcing yourself through?
Yeah, it's tough because obviously his decision determines what path the Raptors go down. I've kind of brought myself to where, though, I don't think that the he leaves scenario is as dramatic as I thought it was entering the season. And part of that is the Marc Gasol trade. Gasol has this huge player option for like $25 million. And he said that it depends on Kawhi's decision, but Gasol has to decide next week, like before Kawhi makes his decision. And that's a lot of money to not opt into. It's like $25 million
for a guy at the twilight of his career.
Yeah, he's 34 years old. And like, even if there were like a 3-year, $36 million deal out there for him or something, I don't know that that's, you know, the, if there's a certainty to that, to where he'd walk away from $25 million in 1 year. So like, there are things like that. Entering the year, I would have thought, you know, if they don't win the title and Kawhi leaves, well, at that point, JV would have been expected to maybe opt in, but as it turns out, he opted out. So that would have cleared your book some. You would have shopped Lowry, which I think is less likely now that he's won a title, because he's like the unquestioned like best Raptor now.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't know that you can trade him.
Unless it's, I mean, we said that about DeMar, and then you can get Cole. Like, I agree with you. But I
Lowry,
guess
Lowry won a title.
True.
DeMar was like the bottleneck over the last 3-4 years.
I don't think you can trade Lowry now.
And then like,
I think you can, but I don't think you should.
Yeah. I think, and then Ibaka would have been the other piece you ship. You know, if Kawhi stays, Ibaka has to stay, because Ibaka is basically
absolutely
Kawhi's muse.
The only guy that could make Kawhi relax.
Yeah. No, so I would have thought entering the year, if they don't win the title, you know, you're trying to ship those pieces off, you're clearing the books, and then this year is, you know, a step back year, 2019-20. I think now with Siakam's development and how tough it might be from an optics perspective and from just like a moving contracts perspective, this would maybe be like still a transition year, but it might be a transition year where like you're a 45-47 win team and you're just keeping your cap sheet clean. Like the, like part of the issue with trading Lowry, Ibaka, or Gasol, and even Norman Powell maybe, is that it's hard to move salaries that size even in the offseason without taking long-term money back. So I don't know that the Raptors would be like, if you want off of Lowry's $33 million, well, you're probably not going to take back money owed in 2020 and 2021, when otherwise you have this completely clear cap sheet. So
yeah.
So I think it's basically moved from the Kawhi leave scenario, has gone from a short term rebuild season to a like, we'll play this out and see where we're at in 2020 with lots of cap space season. Hand the reins to Pascal, maybe expand Van Vliet's role to see how much he can handle ahead of free agency. Stuff like that. And then if he stays, obviously you're all in. You don't get Kawhi Leonard to stay and not remain all in. They will be deep, deep, deep into the luxury tax, so they might still have to cut some places. I don't know if, you know, they would love to have Danny Green back, but there's a certain price point at which that's maybe not realistic. The two most obvious salary dump candidates being Kawhi's two best friends on the team in Powell and Ibaka maybe makes dumping salary complicated too. I'm not sure.
Do you if he stays, do you think that the, do you think they just sort of run it back with the same squad if he stays? Or do you think they, I mean, obviously you're always looking to get better, but do you think it's, there seemed to be like at the deadline when they went and got Gasol, obviously we didn't know how good the team was at that point, just because mid-season Kawhi and everything was different than playoff Kawhi and playoff Raptors. But there did feel a need, even with Kawhi, to go and make that final piece move, which they did, and clearly it worked. Do you think that there's obviously less of a need because they just won a title, but if Kawhi stays, do you think there's a need to sort of make a move to get another significant-ish upgrade, or do you think they just run it back?
Yeah, it's a tough one for me because, like, obviously some of that is going to be determined by your conversations with Kawhi and what he wants and what you have to promise him to get him to stay. To me, the most logical approach, from a like purely removed from the emotion of things, which, you know, Zoops, this is a out of the park baseball.
Absolutely right.
you mostly run the team back in 2019-20 because your cap sheet is so clean in 2020 and 2021 that you could conceivably enter 2020 with, or 2021 with, Leonard, Siakam, Van Vliet, Ananobi if he's, you know, proven worthwhile, and still have room for a max spot. And the 2020 class is a little underwhelming right now, depending on what you assume with like player options and stuff like that. The 2021 class is like really good though, like Giannis, Bradley Beal, there are a couple other big names. So, you know, now can you sell a guy on coming back and running back the same aging crew and waiting on cap space? I'm not really sure. I'm not sure if that sales, like Quest 27. I'm not sure if that sales pitch speaks to him, to where you're like, hey, our next real big swing will come, you know, as you're not. not that 29, 30 is old, but like, yeah, you know, you might totally. Be, you might be
kind of,
yeah,
he plays a very physical game.
It shortens your championship window a little bit. Not that the Raptors wouldn't be competitive still, but like, this is an old team.
Yeah.
If they were to run it back. So I think they would still try to make improvements, but I think that they would be pretty conscious of the cap sheet moving forward, where like some people have even asked me like, oh, if Kawhi comes back, like would Gasol opt out and then sign a new longer term, shorter annual value deal with the Raptors? And I'm not sure that the Raptors would be on board with that, as weird as it sounds to
just
like,
clear mind. Because he'd be on the books.
Because if you sign him for say 3 years, you know, then you're looking at, you have a 37-year-old or a 36-year-old on your 2021 cap sheet, when that could be really, really clear to chase another star. What could at that point be a third star to go with Kawhi and Siakam if Siakam right. kind of continues on. So that's a really tough balance. And I think a lot of that'll come down to Masai and Bobby Webster's conversations with Kawhi about what he wants and how he's viewing these next, you know, 2-3 years versus the five. You know, there's a possibility he signs like a 2-year plus 1-year option deal that would let him re-enter the market and get like the full 10-year vet max in 2 years. If that's the scenario, then you pretty much have to be like all in right now. And if you mess up your books in 2021, you mess up your books.
Yeah, if you win 3 straight, mess up your books. Who cares?
Exactly. You don't win a championship and get Kawhi and then like tiptoe around things. But I do think like their future cap sheet is a consideration, because, you know, there are some big name free agents out there, and
it's really not the worst spot to be in after winning a title.
What a great world.
Yeah. Like, it's a great world where you can win a title and be like, whether Kawhi leaves or whether Kawhi stays, you could still talk yourself into Giannis in 2021.
Totally.
Even without that, it's kind of like, it's so, I mean, obviously the title thing is totally foreign, but before this season, it was kind of like, if Kawhi leaves, there's like some bright stuff on the horizon, like it's going to be a couple years and like, we'll have a couple down years. And now it's like, either way, they're in a great spot. It's crazy.
Yeah. The one thing is, if Kawhi leaves, you know, you probably lose some of that positive, like reputational momentum.
Yeah.
And then you're also betting that, you know, Siakam is an all-star and this, like, the league doesn't catch up to him, which I think is true. I think he's shown enough that you can, you know, I think he's a top 25 player at this point. And then you're also banking on, you know, when you have that cap space, you'll be able to use it meaningfully, which Masai would tell you they could. Their ability to retain their own free agents over the last couple of years would tell you you could. But we don't really have a litmus from the last little while. Like, they haven't had cap space since 2016, which was like when they still weren't super good yet. 2015. Rather, the year 2016, the year that they got Damari Carroll, Corey Joseph, and Bismack right. Biyombo. Or was that 2015? Anyway, I'm trying. This is 2015. That was the last time they had cap space, and they weren't these Raptors yet. So we don't really know what the Raptors could do with cap space. You just hope it's better than in the past.
The reputational thing is interesting too, because Toronto has never, this is not just the Raptors, this is other than the Leafs, I guess, but like the Raptors have never had a problem retaining free agents and acquiring through trade, but we've yet to have a star elect to like come here.
Yeah. Which is tough because like,
I get it.
Kyle and DeMar were relatively star level players. I mean, PJ Tucker chose to walk. That's the, like the Raptors.
But I mean, Kyle and DeMar were like, they were drafted or traded.
Yeah.
And then they decided to stay, which is great, which is not a problem.
Yeah. The biggest free agent signing in franchise history is probably Turkoglu.
Yeah, exactly. And so Kawhi staying, I think would, but it's true. Like if Kawhi stays, it reputationally, it changes everything.
Yeah.
Because then all of a sudden you have a top three player saying this is a place to be.
Mm-hmm. Getting free agents to come is overrated.
You think?
Yeah. Just build a title. They just won a title.
Yeah, that's true.
Bobby and Masai will figure it out.
Yeah, there's also an element of that, like cap space clearly is only one way to build your team, right?
That's
like,
right.
The Raptors just did this, and I just said like their biggest free agent signing during this run was Damari Carroll. Like,
man,
you can clearly
All in on Damari Carroll when we got him.
But back to Zoob's point earlier, like just because the Raptors did it this way with no lottery picks and no cap space, it does not mean it's the plan.
Yeah.
It's not a repeatable. Well, it might be repeatable occasionally, but it's not a. It's not the streamlined way to win a championship.
This is tough. I could talk to you for like 3 hours about this. I have so many things I want to hit. And one of them, and you're probably the only guy I think I really want to ask this about, because obviously Masai Ujiri has done an incredible job building the foundation from the bottom up. But nobody is putting respect on the name of Bobby Webster.
I tried, man. I tried. I went back. Someone brought this up the other day, how Bobby Webster gets no respect. And I brought back, I went into a mailbag that I wrote, I don't know, early in the season. And one of the questions was like, how much credit does Bobby Webster get? And my answer was just real G's move in silence like lasagna, which, by the way, there's a new, I forget who the artist is, but there's a song called Giannis. And the one of the lyrics is real G's move in silence like Giannis. I'm like, I don't know about that. I like it as lasagna.
Even with the Bobby Webster, like I was sort of laughing at, not a funny story, but in Robin Doolittle's article yesterday about the Maasai security guard issue, which I don't want to get into because I don't want to be too anti-cop on a podcast. But I thought for Bobby Webster, it was funny where one of the witnesses said that everyone was yelling at the cop explaining who Maasai was. And they were all saying, that's the general manager of the Raptors. It's like,
yeah. I think part of that is like, Bobby doesn't like to do media stuff
right. And
avoids it if he can. So like he's very rarely been the front facing guy.
And Maasai is the guy who goes and makes the speeches.
Yeah, 100%. And Maasai
is the personality.
And he loves it. And it's great.
Now, as I understand it, the Kawhi Leonard trade was largely hammered out by Bobby Webster. He has a relationship with someone in the Spurs front office. Maasai was in Kenya with Obama. Bobby Webster had a big hand in that. Bobby Webster, when he was with the league office, helped write the CBA, so he knows all the loopholes. Obviously, you guys remember at the trade deadline, there was a bunch of weirdness that I wrote about, and it's like, Bobby Webster's
good guy to have on your side.
Yeah, and I think you look at things, obviously, when you win a championship, and you guys saw through merchandise and ticket sales and everything how much, like, hand-over-fist money MLSC was making. They also, like, trimmed $18 million off their luxury tax bill over the course of the season with these tiny little moves. That, like, obviously, at times it was like, shit, I wish they had more depth, but also they won a championship cut $18 million in luxury tax payment over the course of the year.
That's truly an incredible stat.
And that's before accounting for the fact that they got $5 million from the Spurs in that Kawhi trade. So, that's an extra $23 million that they just...
What a fleece of a deal that is.
This is why, like,
oh my God.
It feels a little dirty writing about next season through the luxury tax lens, because like if Kawhi stays, they're going to be a deep luxury tax team. But also, like, they were probably making like $20 million a game during the finals. Like,
well, even like we were writing about Lowry's incentives.
Yeah,
like who cares? They made it in a day.
Yeah,
Good stuff.
There's so much. There's so much I want to touch on.
It's hard to touch on. Your point is correct, though, that like there is so much to touch on, but you can't touch any of it till you know if he stay or if
that's
he go.
Right. I do think, though, like at least, you know, I don't want to speak for the listener, but I would think that even if someone's not super interested in the Raptors side of this stuff, there's, you know, these are questions that are translatable across sports for each offseason, right? Like the CBAs are different and the specific rules are different, but this is kind of just like team building philosophically in general.
So, well, we've talked about it so much from like the MLB sphere of just like, when are you just trying to be bad? And is that when just like make that one move that makes you a little bit better? And it's so fun. Oh, I love the offseason.
Someone asked me to go to the Jays game, I think Monday. And I was like, no, I can't because of the parade. But in that moment, I was like, man, it would be really nice to watch a sporting event with absolutely zero stakes and zero investment. And then Tuesday night, I turn the Blue Jays game on TV and I turn it off like two innings in. I'm like, no, not even for Mike Trout is this worth it. Right? I turn on SmackDown for a bit. That's how disinterested I was.
Our friend was in town from Ottawa the weekend of game 4.
Okay.
And we were like, oh, we'll go to the Jays game this afternoon. And then the next day we're like, I'm not paying money to go see this team.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. Once my workload eases up, like post summer league, when I have the back half of July and most of August to just like hang out, I will get $5 walk up tickets.
Totally.
And crush
they
the
were
King
charging
in the
$42
sun.
To go see the Diamondbacks.
Yikes. Yeah.
You kidding me?
Yeah. Yikes. I will get on TickPick or StubHub or whatever and just walk up for $5 and drink a beer, and I'll do my normal thing where I have a seat technically, but I'm just walking around visiting friends or whatever. And
just don't run into one of those weird games for some reason when tickets are $40 to watch.
Yeah. Well, with Trout and Ohtani now behind us, I can't imagine there's a big ticket game other than Yankees Red Sox, either. Right?
And even that, like,
boy, oh boy. I mean, we can get into it a little bit.
Yeah.
Blue Jays are really bad. It's the worst Blue Jays team in 40 years. That is not hyperbole. 1979.
When you think about some of the teams we've seen in our lifetime, that's astonishing.
Not even close.
Yeah.
Not even close.
I've seen Josh Towers pitch more times than anyone.
Josh Towers
have
would be the number.
Jesse Litch was a big one.
Those guys would be the number three starter.
For Josh Towers.
That's terrible.
Josh Towers.
Josh Towers, the good version of Aaron Sanchez.
Yeah. Josh Towers markedly better than Edwin Jackson.
Man, Edwin Jackson is quite bad.
Opponent OPS is 1,200. Teams are batting. Teams are slugging 800, more than 800 over off Edwin Jackson. He'll never be seen again. Don't worry about it. I put together a piece on all the bad stats.
There'll be a good replacement for him in the wings, I'm sure.
How could he not go out there with confidence, though, when Charlie Montoyo said the reason we're starting him is we have no one else?
It's hard to believe. It's hard to believe.
And no one seems to think that's a problem. That's what's belong. Like, I mean, people think it's a problem, but like, so much of the reaction to that is like, well, there's no one else. So it's like, yeah. That's the fucking problem.
There should be somebody
else.
They're in bad shape. And I'm starting to sour on the idea that there's like a plan in the future.
Even if there is a plan, it's like you made a great point when we were in the green room about we just watched the Angels.
That's right.
Who have maybe the best player of all time. And they also have Ohtani, Justin Upton, and they're trash.
They've played three playoff games in Mike Trout's career, and he plays a premium position at a premium level on both sides of the ball. To anybody out there being like, oh, well, they have Vladdy and Biggio's a piece and Bichette. That is not even close to enough. That is 22 pieces short of a contending team. That is, you need to wake up and realize that there is no plan.
It's true. When you think about even like the 2015 Blue Jay team, which was an excellent team, but like so many pieces.
Yes.
They had a full five-man rotation, 1 through 9 hitting, a decent bullpen. Like, there's...
Yeah, Ryan Goins was playing a little too much,
but
due to injury, mostly.
Even then, think about how good the team was before all the trades, right? They had a very good team that slugged a lot. They were about 500. They had to add a new shortstop. They had to add a new ace. They had to add a new left fielder. They had to add 3 new bullpen pieces to become a playoff team. Not even close right now. They're not even close to being close. I don't buy 2021 as a timeline because they'll have no pitching. They have no pitching now. No team gives up more walks. They give up 5 runs a game. Like, they're in so much trouble. I cannot believe it.
It is
it.
Astonishing to me.
Awful.
I have, like, the score alerts on my phone for the Jays. I haven't watched
the Jays
game
that
in fucking weeks. But it's amazing to me how often I'll get, like, 9 alerts within 20 minutes. I'm like, oh, was there like trades and reactions? It's like, no, the Jays just let up 10 runs in an inning again.
Nothing. Like, no plan.
It's tough because like to the no plan part, it's like, yeah, you have a couple nice pieces that are going to be probably really good. But like, is Nate Pearson the only guy? Like, assume they trade Stroman, which I don't think they should do because he'll still be good when
they're going to.
These young guys are ostensibly going to be good as well, which just kicks the...
There's
the,
just
we
even,
have no
even
pitch
less yet. Pitching.
But, like, is Nate Pearson the only guy in the system right now who you're like, yeah, that guy's in the rotation when Vlad and Bo and Biggio get
I mean, it was
going
to be Sean Reed Foley and
pretty
that
much.
Fell apart.
Yeah. And like, the attrition rate on pitching prospects is crazy. So, like, I don't understand how it's like, well, we have a couple good hitters and, like... You think this front office is just going to spend on free agent pitching when it's time to?
They're going to add 10 good pitchers. That's what I'm being told. 10?
Is that the plan? Apparently,
there's no plan. The plan is to be. Here's the plan. Step one: be as cheap as possible.
Step two:
there is no
end
step.
Of plan.
There is no step two. They're probably very pleased that they're paying $52 million for players who don't play for the team. I'm sure that's super great. Anyway.
What is this? Year 5 of Shapiro?
This is year 5. Yeah.
Okay. And so even accepting that, say, the first year
four.
Pardon me.
Okay.
Still.
So accepting that the first year was like, we didn't build this, we got to ride it out year. Like, that is not, of a long amount of time to still be like, well, there's no shell of what this is
going
to look like.
When that was going, when that, like, stat idea was going around a few weeks ago of, like, this is year 4, and year 4 of Thop was 10-year, he went out and made the Jose Reyes trade.
Yeah.
It's, like, I think because it's been... so bad that astonished me that it's year 4
absolutely
and you're like and wait like it's absolutely true and that is a totally valid amount of time to any think if the Leafs were this bad for 4 years which they have been many times those GMs are like fired immediately
and I'm not saying they should be fired baseball timelines are longer because of how long things take to this is why tanking in baseball makes no sense to me it's like your chances of hitting on a first round pick are really are pretty low.
You can pick first overall and it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also they take 4 or 5 years to deliver a return.
4 years is enough to judge a tenure.
Yeah. I think it's enough to judge like the, you know, at least the process side of things. Yeah. And like the fact that it's a deep pocketed team and they haven't used any of that money to, I mean, they did for a little bit, like eating, what was it? They ate Liriano's salary when they traded him out. They made a couple small moves like that. But like a lot of the teams that have rebuilt well in their down years also spent money on guys, not only to like just eat innings before their pitching prospects are ready or like eat at bats, but also because like if you sign a mid-level free agent, like veteran free agent, that's a guy you can flip at the trade deadline. And like, it just costs you money then for like, I don't know, even a C plus prospect at the deadline. Like, it's just money.
We've talked about this before and like, I don't want to keep banging my head against this wall, but there's no choice.
Sure.
Like there is no purpose to, in baseball, to just being bad.
Especially when the whole league is doing that.
Yeah. And there's no, but there's also, even if the whole league wasn't.
Right.
As you said, the draft in baseball is a crapshoot. It's like, what is it? 30 some rounds or something like that. And the first round is,
it's not even, I don't even think it's a set number of rounds. It's until everyone stops.
Yeah. Until teams stop making picks.
And the first,
until you've drafted like, the son of every person in your front office.
But like, there's no purpose to it. You don't win anything in baseball by being bad.
Correct.
Whereas like, there's no Zion Williamson on the horizon where you're like,
yeah, even Mike Trout. Mike Trout wasn't a number one pick.
No,
they're going to lose 105 games and not be the worst team in the division.
This is the other thing, is that you're never going to be as bad as the Royals and Orioles.
Never.
No,
those teams are just that way by nature.
And like the system in baseball is so broken that like allows this to happen in the first place. But like, it's just, I was like fully on board for like a year of like the sort of Shapiro like rebuild plan. And now that it's become apparent that there is no plan, as you said, it's like, why be this bad? Yes. It behooves nothing.
Long summer, and we have a lot of time to dig into this. But I will say, to get back to the whole, it's a 4-year thing, but you can give them we'll give them 2016 as like you had to run it back, right?
Yeah.
We've all taken over a franchise in a game where the team was bad, right? The first thing you do is get value for the pieces you have.
Yes.
What did they get for Donaldson? What did they get for Happ? What did they get for Tulowitzki? What did they get for Martin? Nothing. Nothing. There's no piece in any of those deals that is going to be a part of any future for
you
this
team. You go to the shop player screen. If you get a good prospect for the guy, you make the flip.
Anything.
If you don't get anything, you just keep him until there's a better offer.
That is a thing, I think, an underreported aspect of this tenure.
Getting nothing for Donaldson is...
Yeah. That's fine.
0%.
Fine. You don't want to run back an old team for a third year. Fine. But it's crazy. They got nothing.
The way they handled Donaldson is shocking. Yeah. For him to come out that year and not be able to throw.
That was horrendous.
And then instead of being like, okay, our only way out of this is to qualify him. No. Let him.
It's like I was.
Didn't even qualify.
I was the idiot on board the beginning of that season. Like, they could challenge for the second wild card this roster for sure. And then when they being like, yeah, keep him. I was that idiot. But then they did keep him and they still got nothing for him. And they lost fucking 80 plus games.
Feels good to still have this in the chamber after all that. Raptors feel good. To still have the like, there's still a fucking bumbling idiot team around here we can pick on.
What I find interesting is that
they're
like,
bafflingly bumbling is the thing.
What I find interesting, and like obviously the Raptors are incredibly well run and in a very good situation, and like Siakam popping off the way he did, and like basketball is obviously a little different to build with because everything happens a little on a quicker timeline. But like we're talking about like Kawhi leaves scenarios where it's like, yeah, they'll just be less good for a year, and then they'll have lots of cap space, and then I don't know. It's obviously they're different sports and they operate differently, but like, there's also no cap in baseball where
you can be planning.
You can always spend money.
That's right.
You can there's always money in the old Rogers Cellular Tower.
The banana
tower.
Stand, yeah.
Anyway, we have lots of time to talk about that.
It's because it's going to get worse.
Absolutely. It's only going to be more attention to it. It's only
going
to look worse.
The Sports World episode after the MLB trade deadline is going to be.
They're also
going to
trade Stoneman for nothing.
Yeah. And Smoke for nothing.
I don't know that anybody wants Justin Smoke. This is the other problem, is they signed a couple veterans, like you mentioned, stopgap guys who there is no market for.
Yeah.
The idea that a contender
is
upgrading by taking Freddy Galvis is so opposed to itself. What, like, how are you a contender and B, need to upgrade a shortstop? That makes no sense.
Yeah.
Nobody needs Justin Smoke.
Yeah.
Did you see what Edwin Encarnacion just fetched in a trade? Nothing. Nothing.
Yeah.
The league leader in home runs just fetched absolutely nothing. So you can take your we're going to trade Smoke to a team that needs what?
A switch hitter off the bench?
Exactly right.
That's a good point.
And another thing before we move on.
The contending team needing a shortstop.
Makes no
sense. The Blue Jays made the trade for the shortstop, but it was just like an upgrade. It wasn't we needed one. It wasn't a desperate need. It was, oh, we can flip Jose Reyes with Troy Tulowitzki and we're this close? Sure.
The team that's out there that is magically A, competing for a playoff spot, but B, doesn't have a top 20 shortstop. That seems like a likely thing. And before I move on.
And C doesn't know the regression is coming hard with
Galvis. Yeah. Freddie Galvis is going to be your piece long term. Yeah.
Freddie Galvis is, you missed it. He's back down. He's exactly where he always has been. He's an 80.
I did miss it. I
did too.
He's like, back to earth.
Vlad is the only thing. Vlad and Stroman are the only things I like check the box for.
I'm in the tank. I'm still in the tank for Cabin.
As you well should.
Yeah. I think, don't get me wrong. I love a guy with plate discipline.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Somebody on the team.
Just not swinging at bad pitches is such
on this team, it's fucking miles ahead.
Even when the Jays were really good, they were one of the highest strikeout teams in baseball.
Well, Kevin Pillar skewed that a lot.
Yeah. Just not swinging at bad pitches is so appealing to me. the absence of frustration when you're watching?
Yeah.
Perfect.
My last piece will
be... I got bad news for you, though. The rest of the team.
Yeah.
My last piece will be to stop putting Aaron Sanchez's name beside Marcus Stroman's in, like...
Are we officially into Sanchez is bad?
Yes.
Do we want to run back, like, a 2014 episode of Sportsfeld?
All I have for that is years of evidence.
Yeah. I used to get so much, like, when we were at the score, and I was a little bit more of a generalist at that point, like... I was always like, Sanchez is not good. You can't walk five guys per nine and not miss bats and convince me that you're good. Like maybe if you went to the bullpen. And like obviously he had some good seasons and I don't know, man. I've never been
I was all in on him, but I also don't have that like analytic mind.
You're gonna get nothing for Aaron Sanchez at the deadline.
People used to get really mad at me because I didn't like Aaron Sanchez and Drew Hutchison.
No.
Drew Hutchison not always good. Bothered me because the year we had David Price and Stroman was great. Every ticket I bought for some reason ended up being Drew Hutchinson starts.
Quickly, rest of the we meant to get to this earlier. Blake, your thoughts on Anthony Davis to the Lakers? Pretty thin, but if you're going to start a team with two players,
yeah, I mean, I understand why the Lakers did it. They kind of had to at this point. I think it's a good haul for New Orleans to get those rotation players. You know, even if they don't end up being like starter quality guys on a championship team eventually, or like a high playoff team eventually, those are all rotation caliber players. You get a couple first round picks, you get a couple pick swaps, and then the fact that a lot of those draft assets are coming after LeBron James's peak, like you have to spread those picks out because of the Stepien rule. So there are a lot of picks going to New Orleans and pick swaps where it's like, oh, that's in the post LeBron era of the Lakers, that could be a really good deal for New Orleans now and down the line. And then from the Lakers perspective, you kind of have to.
Yeah. You can't have the end of
you
LeBron
can't go through another offseason not adding to LeBron. And I think adding Anthony Davis improves your chances of getting a third guy, even though they've messed up the cap machinations of this to where they don't, like, if they got a third star right now, they would either have to have someone doing them a favor in sign and trade or someone's got to take a pay cut.
I will say this,
couldn't be Bobby Webster.
I was about to say, I don't mean to keep relaying everything to Raptors, but I will. With that whole story about how they mess up the cap machinations and all that, it's... the Raptors are... Masai and Webster are so fucking good at this.
No, it's like... In fairness, they did borderline try to circumvent the cap at the deadline, but
they're aware of it.
Yes.
And they're like...
But yeah, those were end of roster.
They made this whole thing work.
But yes, like I said earlier, they made all these moves throughout the year and at the deadline and trimmed a ton of luxury tax while also making
and
the
like
team
we've
better.
Seen, we look at so many teams. You look at, you know, obviously the Knicks and like all these other teams that were just like, what are you doing? Like the competency level of the Raptors front office is awesome.
And I think that's a big part of their pitch. And I think if you're looking at other Kawhi suitors, it's a part of the Clippers pitch too of, look, we're in LA. It's not quite the glitz and glam of the Lakers, but like, look at over there, man. Like Rob Pelinka's running things and like all the leaks and you're going to get blamed and you already missed out on that Space Jam money.
Do you think it's a two-horse race for Kawhi?
Yeah. I mean, I think there are other teams. Like he might give another interview or like another meeting or two. But, all the smoke the entire time has been Raptors and Clippers. So I'd be surprised if it's not one of those two.
Before we move on to the mailbag, let's all take a second to laugh at the Boston Celtics.
Man, hoard those assets, man.
So someone asked me yesterday or 2 days ago when the Kyrie and Horford stuff came down, why I didn't continue the Tai Chi memes. So for those who are unaware, for the Wizards, Celtics, and Raptors this year, I would react to bad news with different Japanese wrestling memes. And the Celtics got Lord Tai Chi, who is one of the most disliked in among like American viewers of Japanese wrestling, and then for some reason really popular in Japan.
Yeah.
It was a poor choice for the Celtics because I didn't expect the Celtics to have this much bad news all year. He is there are not a lot of photos of him, and he's not very memeable despite being interesting looking. Basically, his whole thing is like he's like kind of a goth pervert.
Yeah.
That's tough to find appropriate memes for. Anyway, I decided to retire the Celtics one because after the Raptors won a championship and the Celtics are in this much disarray, feels too much like punching down.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's fair.
Pay them no mind.
I said to Will Liu on his live podcast yesterday, what do the Raptors care what the sixth or seventh best team in the East from last year is doing in free agency?
You're absolutely correct. On the flip side, fuck the Boston Celtics and also every Boston team.
Say the line, Jake.
There's so many lines. Where are we going here?
Bad Stevens.
Yeah. Or maybe he can't do it.
To put the Zack Sabre Jr. on, I write with my brain and a deep underlying hatred of the Boston Celtics.
All right. We have lots to get to in the mailbag. We are going to open that up in just a moment here. Some fun questions. So we're going to get to that after this.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
We are back. Bursting mailbag today.
Yeah.
Very excited. First question, how long was the hangover? I realize now we didn't even talk about the parade.
Well, we were hungover, so.
We were hungover. My hangover was zero. I didn't drink at all. Oh, I guess that's a championship hangover.
Yeah.
Still very short. I didn't go over the line. You went to a different direction than I did. Blake said he worked all night.
I was told
you had to be the only hungover one.
I was.
You were on this show hungover. Now that I think about it,
I drank a ball of Pedialyte. I was told by a friend of the show, Jacob Kramer, that was a top three drunk he's ever seen me.
Damn. Yeah, I would say that's close.
And my hangover, I don't remember, but my hangover supports that.
Yeah,
entirely. I was actually, to be honest, by the end of the show, when I had finished a bottle of Pedialyte, I was okay.
That's what it's for.
You can, I think if you go back and listen to that show, you can hear me feel better as the show goes on. But I definitely, like, that night, a couple friends came over to watch a movie, and they brought...
What?
Yeah. I don't know. I know.
Oh, the night of the... Right. Not after the game. After,
No. You know, like, the night of when we did our show. The next day.
You were functional enough to put a movie on?
No. I fell down Sean's stairs.
That's right. That's more accurate.
No, but the next day's after the show... in terms of length of hangover, friends came over to watch a movie and brought just a little bit of wine over. Mm-hmm. And I had maybe half a glass. And like my son was like, hey,
don't do that.
Let's not
do
that.
I
was so hungover, I couldn't finish eating Jerk King, which is a thing that has never happened to me before.
Yeah, I was Blake Light. I worked 9 to 5.
Oof.
Just jammed it in, baby.
Oof.
I only had like three, four beers.
You didn't partake in the bottle of champagne? I feel like you did.
Oh, it's a couple swigs of champagne.
Yo,
it's not like we each chugged a bottle like you guys.
You might have eaten something too, as I understand it.
Oh, true. That's less of a hangover and more of a like, I'm really happy to go to work today.
Yeah. I didn't get to drink at all until the Saturday. And then we did
Rolsan.
Yeah, so a few of us writers went to a place called Coffee Oysters and Champagne, the old like Bar Isabel.
I've seen that, yeah.
Where there's like a
I didn't know Bar Isabel no longer exists.
I walk past it every day.
I mean, it might still be a thing, like the signage, some of the signage still says Isabel, but like the geotag is Coffee Oysters and Champagne. Anyway, then we ended up at Rockin' Horse, which is something I haven't done since the last time my out-of-town friends came in and were like, hey, meet us at the bar. And I was like, where? I was like, I'm not checking my backpack at Rockin' Horse after the Raptors game. Sorry, fellas. And then, 4 a.m. Rolsan, which I think prevented any hangover.
Yeah, 4 a.m. Rolsan is... I haven't done like Chinatown 4 a.m. in a long time, but in my Sneaky D's days, that was definitely a popular end of night. And it does help everything.
Yeah.
Let me say, as a 33-year-old man, the 4 a.m. Rolsan photo was the first time in years that I had been jealous of my friends who were out late.
Yep.
Almost always, I'm like, eh, that's fine.
It was also like completely, almost entirely, like other than Steve and myself, a group of people who either like always duck out early or never, like never stay out late or whatever. Like Alex Wong and Will Liu being out that late is like unheard of in the in the social group. So it was truly.
Rolsan is a magical place.
Looked awesome and sure you all deserved it. And shout out Sarah Jenkins, who is the reason you were all at Rocking Horse.
Yes, that was the first time I met her.
Jenks, listen to the show, and we will have her on eventually. I promise, Sarah.
Also, at Rolsan, like, Will Liu just, like, was like, don't even look at the menu. Like, I'm ordering.
Of course.
Yeah.
It was great. And then he pulled, like, the under-the-tree photo of Will Liu holding all the money. Mm. He was just, like, at a certain point, he was like, I'm leaving. And he just threw a bunch of money on the table. It was funny. Steve tried to, like, discreetly pick up the... I don't know if Steve will be happy with me sharing this, but he tried to, like, discreetly pick up the bill. But then, like, everyone just started throwing money on the table. I was like, ah, we'll figure it out.
It's a good try.
You guys deserve it. That's how I feel. I was having charcuterie with Jonah Port Haugen. I wasn't even around. So I mean, even if I were to be invited, I couldn't have gone.
Was it Saturday?
It was, I wasn't invited. It was like it was kind of funny. It was like the worst trade ever where normally I freeload off of Steve with music event things. And he came up with me Raptors media drinking at Rockin' Horse and then Rolsan. It was the worst trade. Steve lost that one.
He's in all the photos. Yeah. That's all you need to be. He's in the Say the Line Bart photo.
Yep. Kawhi, what's your answer?
But we didn't talk about the parade. The biggest hangover, Marc Gasol. Marc Gasol or Norm Powell. One of those two dudes.
The thing that I found most amazing about...
I'll say Marc Gasol didn't go online again until this morning. So that is like... I know that feeling.
Yeah. Marc Gasol also, the video of him chugging the bottle of wine.
Mm-hmm.
I know he's a large man.
Yeah.
That bottle looked like a bottle of Corona in his hand. And it's been, I've been trying to wrap my head around that aspect of it for 3 days. Like that was a bottle of wine that looked like a child's bottle.
Marc Gasol, come on Sportsville.
Yes, please.
Let's talk about Wales. We don't have to talk about sports.
We have so much to talk about, Marcus. Tell us about your summer.
Talk about cetaceans.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And gardening.
Do you have a boat in the Toronto Harbor?
Saving migrants.
I'll try.
Guy loves boating.
He loves boating. He loves the ocean. And he loves a sustainable garden that he grows with his children. What a sweetheart.
So that they know the value of hard work.
Where the food comes from. You got to love Marcus. Is that true? Absolutely is
true. That's amazing. I love that.
What a sweetheart. We love Marcus.
Also, he brought his daughter to exit interviews. And it was very funny. She was very shy.
What a sweetheart.
I love when obviously it's very cute whenever players bring kids around, but like when they bring them into like formal settings like that, like it's one thing to like be in the locker room and they're like running around. It's funny. And like, or some of them will like shoot around before games. But then like when they're in very formal settings and have to like sit still, it's always way funnier.
The parade that was insane.
Yes.
Ridiculous.
I feel like they could have, for all the jokes in Toronto about planning the parade, could have planned it a little better. Put up some barriers so people are in the street.
Let's get it. My biggest thing is I know everyone is responsible for themselves and should think better. The fact that there was that large a crowd on a June day and there were no water stations is crazy to me. Like, I feel like you were just begging for it.
For
sure. And like the paramedics were like, we were like treating a person a minute and like pulling them over the guardrail for dehydration. I was like,
It's fucking 25 degrees.
It was 3 hours late. And even the people who prepared by bringing enough water probably didn't have enough water.
That is all very, very true. But also the further we get from it, the more it will be like, man, there were so many people that could, like, it's one of those things where the further we get from it, the more it'll be not a thing that we remember poorly and a thing that we remember like, wow, I remember when they couldn't control how many people they were.
Poorly. It's just like
Could have been a lot
man,
better.
Man, you should have done this.
For sure. I didn't get to see anything because I was on the street for 2 hours plus.
I was running around the city the whole day. Yeah. I was following it all on my phone.
And by the time I was like, hey, we have a hard out. We had to work. We both had to work. Melissa and I, we went home. And it was, we were home for 3.5 hours before the parade got to where we were standing.
I enjoyed the irony of my,
not going to happen.
My first like busy day of having to do work things around the city in fucking months is the day of the parade.
Don't it always seem to go?
I have repeated just drinking alcohol and eating desserts all the time.
Yes.
All myself in my head so good. So many times.
Gotta love it. Here's a chance for all of us to brag. Are you ready?
Yeah.
If you were to walk on the main streets in downtown Toronto for 2 hours, how many people would you see that you knew?
Not as many as you think.
Like three, probably. Yeah. Two or three.
Two or three, you might guess.
Do I have to know them as well?
People you see that you knew.
Like acquaintances or friends or whatever.
Like if I were walking at King and Spadina, where the Score is right there and my work is right, that's downtown.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm sure I'd see two or three.
I think if I walked up and down Queen West for 2 hours, I'm sure I'd see at least two people.
Yeah. I take this, I'll use the Pup Show as the example. Two or three people that I didn't know that knew me. And I was like, that's the coolest thing. I'll go to, if that's what going to shows is, I see why you guys go to the shows all the time. People are like, hey, great podcast. I'm like, okay.
You just need every show to be
full of people who know me.
A band that's like deeply ingrained in Toronto sports.
100%.
On the off chance, the two or three people who recognized me as I was trying to push through the crowd to get to the media area during the parade are listening, I'm really sorry. I probably scuffed your shoes. That was not a great opportunity to meet people.
it was a wild day.
They had like, PR had told us like, the only way you're getting in the media zone is to push through the crowd. I'm like, but I have a credential. And they were like, no. Eventually I just hopped the fence.
They'll get it right next year.
Yes. I'm sorry.
It's tough for us being this podcast full of like Toronto celebrities that it's tough for us.
100%. I felt really bad. It like bothered me all day that like these people were like, hey, that's Blake. Oh, he's an asshole. He's pushing through and like trying to use his credential to get a better spot.
Imagine thinking Blake Murphy's an asshole. Imagine that world.
Listen, we'll get the parade right next year, right?
Yeah.
It'll be way easier.
The first draft.
It's just the first one.
Yeah.
Next year's parade will be a fucking breeze.
Double parade too, right?
Absolutely right.
Leafs are out.
I had that thought yesterday actually about they'd combine it?
No.
All they had to do was
win a couple days of each other.
One more game against the Bruins.
Would melt down.
I know.
Both fan bases would be so angry.
Yeah, they'd be like 4 million people downtown.
That's true.
It'd be nuts.
That'd anyway, break the city.
CFL season started. Not if you guys knew that.
Nope.
So here's
sure didn't.
So here's the question. In line with that reaction, why is it that Toronto fans who are NFL fans dismiss the CFL and don't go to Argos games? P.S. Fuck the Argos. Go Ticats. I can guarantee you I know who sent this in.
So I actually do have a take on this.
Please.
As someone who used to be a huge NFL fan and has never cared about the CFL, and now does not care about the NFL either. The first thing I will say is that the CFL is better than the NFL.
And a lifelong Torontonian, so you have a great...
I've been to two Argos games in my entire life.
Mm-hmm.
Never followed the team. When they won the Grey Cup, I was like, that's nice. But never like...
Grey Cup 100 at home.
Yeah.
Which would be a bigger deal.
Couldn't even give a shit.
To any other franchise except for Argos.
But, so here's the thing that I've come to realize.
Sure.
As a product on the field, the CFL is better than the NFL. I don't fully know the reason that Torontonians don't care about the CFL is that Torontonians believe that we should have an NFL team here.
Right.
And there was that like decade of teasing us about that when it was, oh, is Bon Jovi going to bring a team here? Are the Bills going to move here? Blah, 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 blah. So the CFL has gotten this like secondary status here because in Toronto, it's just not big enough for Toronto. It's just not. I don't know like the historical reasons for that. Whereas like it took TFC literally winning a title for them to, or at least going to the finals for them to get a foothold.
But they but Toronto. TFC had fans from day one.
They did.
That were but like the Argos raucous.
The Argos have fans. The Argos get 15,000-20,000 people a game.
I think they were more than anything initially hamstrung by playing in the Rogers Center.
Yes,
that is a terrible atmosphere for a football game, and when you only have enough fans to fill a smaller stadium, putting it in a place where that seats 50,000 looks awful.
Oh, the whole top, like the 200s and 500s.
It's no, the atmosphere is bad. And you, even if you're a fan, you go there and you're like, oh, nobody cares about this. Where if they were in a smaller stadium, I believe they were originally supposed to play
Lamport. I thought Lamport. Was the plan. Yeah.
When the team was first divided, it was supposed to be a bigger stadium there. I think that would have been, if they had a football specific stadium that was built around the, like they've never had a home, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
if they're playing in the Blue Jays Stadium or they're playing in TFC Stadium, if there had been a place for Argos fans from day one to call their own, I think that might have helped. But I also agree that it's hard in this city, and this is a shitty thing to say about us, it's hard for us to open our arms to anything that isn't the best at what it is.
Yes. Whereas, like I said, I don't think is the case the CFL and the NFL, but I do think that...
But it's like, it's not the best football league.
No, exactly. Yes, exactly. It's right. Like the KHL or, I know that's Russian, but you know what I mean? Like it's...
But like even junior hockey doesn't survive here.
Yeah.
All that well.
The Marlies, people go to the Marlies in the Calder Cup.
I have a slightly alternate take, but please. It's only speaking personally.
Because you've seen the whole...
I've never been a huge football fan in general, but when I have been, the three things that I care about were Madden, fantasy, and gambling.
Yeah.
And the NFL is where you go for those things. So for me, it was just like even as like kind of a nascent football fan, and when I like hit those peak years of like watching it on Sundays with friends, it was like I was in it for the fantasy and the gambling. And
I also think
not
that,
for the actual sports.
So. I also think that like this is changing a little bit, but if we go back 10, 15 years, Toronto is a very Americanized city.
Mm-hmm.
And the prevailing narrative of football is that the CFL is the joke league compared to the NFL. And that is an American idea, and it's a popular one. And it's an idea that exists in Canada too, but it really exists in Toronto. Like, it's just not, and maybe that is that what you're saying about, like, it's not the best.
Right.
And it's just, I don't know, maybe it's a shame. I'm not a football fan, so it's like, it doesn't affect me, but maybe it's a shame it's not a bigger deal.
It could be.
Like, people in, like, the Seattle fans they're great, and, like, maybe that's a thing we're missing, but I don't know.
I think that it not being the best applies to beyond just sports. If you look at our TV and movies struggle to get off the ground because there's this idea that they're not.
Well,
right, but you understand what I mean.
I do. I have a lot I can say.
TV, movies, comedy, like all of it. If it doesn't have the trappings of it being a worldwide thing,
mm-hmm.
like right, nobody cares about Canadian TV or movies or drama. But then TIFF comes and we're like, oh, let's line up in the streets, a movie nobody's ever seen.
True.
Right. We're stupid in that way.
Yes.
And it's annoying. This one almost entirely for Blake. Nick Nurse has been named the head coach of Canada's national team. He chose. He was nice enough to do. What do you think that changes for the program, if anything?
I think it's great. I think it's this is something that I've kind of tried to hammer on over the last couple of years. And it's a complicated line to step around. But MLSE and Canada Basketball have similar goals. And the success of one will feed success of the other. And I've wanted that relationship to be a little more close over the last couple of years. Now, there's obviously a limit on that to where MLSE can't have too much hands on it because players from non-Raptors teams will be playing. But, you know, when the Drake partnership got extended the other year with Welcome Toronto, that came with sizable donations from OVO to Canada Basketball, refurbishing of local courts. OVO apparently wants to get even more financially involved with Canada Basketball. There seems to be some push-pull right now as to what level of control or input they'd have. But I think that those organizations working together and realizing that from MLSE's perspective, hey, the better we're developing Canadian talent and the better the national program is, the more we're building the fan base in Canada. And then Canada Basketball realizing, well, the better the Raptors do, the more interest we can kind of siphon from them in the national program, especially since Canada Basketball has really, really struggled since missing the 2016 Olympics to draw sponsorship money. So I think it helps from that perspective. And then I think Nurse lends this air of credibility, even though he's only had 1 year as an NBA head coach, where he's coached at the international level, he's coached at the FIBA level, he's coached at the D-League level, he's coached at the NBA level. And short of with Britain's national team, just because Britain doesn't have the talent, he's won at all of these levels. He's shown that kind of flexibility. I think, too, in terms of getting NBA players out to commit to the program, having an NBA head coach can help, because if you're the Timberwolves and you're thinking about sending Wiggins, or you're the Nuggets and you're thinking about sending Jamal Murray, having a coach at the helm who knows what an NBA player is going through and what an NBA team would and wouldn't want for their guys, I think adds a level of comfort. Not that teams aren't allowed to be like, no, you absolutely can't play, but they do have input in those decisions. So I think an NBA guy behind the bench helps there. I just think it's a big credibility move. It's a big MLSE Canada Basketball relationship move. I think it's great. And then Nurse seems to think it'll help him improve further as a coach, which, sure. Awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's great, man. I'm, you guys know how much I care about the Canada basketball program on like the men's and women's side. And with the World Cup for the men this year and both probably in the Olympics next year, it's just like, it feels like such a great opportunity to roll this successful Raptors run into the first bit of national program success on the men's side. Like, they haven't been to the Olympics since 2000. And the women have hung in that like 4-8 range in most major tournaments and won some FIBA Americas and stuff. But they haven't gotten the eyeballs on them that the Olympics will provide. So I think this is a really important kind of 16 months here for turning Raptors growth and growth of the national basketball fan base into like long-term fans of not just the Raptors, but the entire program, and kind of making Canada basketball one of the things like Canadians are so good for supporting their national programs, at least come Olympic time, that I don't know. I feel like this is a big, big opportunity to roll a lot of that over into the national program.
Man, if Nick Nurse in 1 year brings a Raptors title and an Olympic berth to the Canadian basketball team.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because some people have been like gold medal. I'm like, okay, well, I'm just joking about that.
Just
yeah.
a berth.
But like, if they have
the roster to be the like Spain of Argentina's of the world of like,
yes.
They're not going to beat a fully loaded States team, no. But they can medal. And
they also have like a really tough draw where they have the hardest group stage group with Lithuania and Australia and right. Senegal. And then they would draw into the US's quarterfinal bracket. So like realistically, they're probably looking at like a down podium or like maybe in that 5th to 8th placement. But if you're the number 2 ranked team from the Americas, so if you're the best Americas team that's not the United States at the World Cup, you punch your Olympic berth and you don't have to worry about all those qualifying tournaments next summer yeah. that then require your NBA guys to commit to like 3 months. You're then, you know, maybe it's a 6 or 8 week commitment or something like that. So this is huge. And you know, the reports on whether Wiggins will play have been conflicting so far. I've heard mixed things on Shea and Murray. I think you'll have all the stalwarts like Corey Joseph and Tristan Thompson and those guys. Like, those guys are going to play.
Joel Anthony still around?
Yes, but he's, I think, like 37. still winning titles in, like, yeah. the Dominican yeah. Republic, though.
Where Nurse is going to end up in the pantheon of, like, coaches in this country yeah. is, like...
I mean, he's already...
He's immediately... immediately... Unbelievable. I love it.
The crazy thing, too, is that people don't realize this. Kawhi's Canadian now.
Absolutely. That's right.
Yeah. Part of him staying is yeah. citizenship.
To what level does this championship calm Toronto fans down and for how long?
Not at all. Never.
Like 15 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. Zero. Raptors fans, sure. maybe, but also not. Like,
yeah.
we can say.
It might make Leafs fans even more impatient.
For sure. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Raptors fans are going to have like a brief moment of you can't tell me nothing. Like,
especially if Kawhi stays.
Yes.
That's I was going to say. We can all say that it's very... If Kawhi leaves, Raptors fans are pretty... I would say pretty much back to where they were.
No, I don't think so. I think there would be like a one-year grace period of like championship hangover and like it's fine. The stakes are a little lower.
I don't know, man. I feel like even if Kawhi stays or leaves in February, you're getting... Your mentions flooded with, why aren't we playing Kyle
that's
Moore?
That's like, going to happen. So fans are going to fans. I just think like... If you were gauging the entire pulse, it'll be a Fair. Little more chill.
The rest of the city fan base, not at all. If anything, it's worse.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, Jays fans are probably so just annoyed at the contrast. And then Leaf fans, to your point, are probably just so impatient. And
Leaf fans are going, if Marner leaves, or not even Marner leaves, if Marner doesn't sign an extension,
Marner's
Leaf fans are going to melt the fuck
down. Words about his negotiation is like,
yeah,
they hate him already.
Yeah.
It's crazy. What's the best snack to eat in bed?
Anything that does not add to crumb.
It's tough to eat snacks in bed. Yeah. Not a big snacks in bed guy.
I
like to separate my powers.
I want to be a snacks in bed guy. Like, I'm always like, man, it feels really nice to eat. But then I'm like, nah, because I got to clean it up. And it's not as comfortable as you think.
Champagne is the answer to that.
This is really embarrassing. I cleaned my like I did like a deep clean of my room the other day because I was like, you know what, playoffs over, I should like reset my living space. There was an M&M under the bed. I was like, ooh, this is
might be M&Ms.
This is really embarrassing.
No crumbs.
Yeah, any sort of like candy like that yeah. is always good.
It's candy.
Yeah,
you're right.
I think the right answer is don't eat in bed
for sure.
Yeah,
I don't eat in bed.
I'm a deadbeat
almost ever.
You guys sleep in beds with other people.
It's true.
Is the issue.
And a
That's
dog.
The
yeah,
here.
Yeah. If I my dog would eat anything.
Yeah, we have a cat. The cat would just. Whatever.
Does this mean the Raptors are finally in a Christmas Day game? And if so, who would you like them to play?
I would assume probably.
Sixers?
I can't imagine they're not in a Christmas Day
game. Sixers seems right.
Spurs. I think if Kawhi stays,
Spurs,
it's Bucks.
Mm.
They'll play up the Giannis-Kawhi
right.
rematch.
I could see that. I would, if we're talking, even if he doesn't, Spurs, give me DeMar and Kawhi on Christmas Day.
If DeMar's still a Spur.
Is that a question?
Yeah, apparently they're open to shopping him. Just like he's a big expiring contract, they're probably not going to
bring him back.
Yeah, not really a way to make that work. But man, that would suck for him.
Yeah,
you think?
Yeah.
Yeah, bringing him back and then not winning the title. We'd be like, well.
Bring him back. I'm saying bring him back and load it up, and they do win the title. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah,
come
I think they're
gonna not going to give you
come
that.
Come on.
I feel like it would be really tough to not give them a Christmas Day game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Like, especially since even though the ratings for the finals started slowly, even on the U.S. side, by the end of that series, they were doing really well. And that doesn't count the, like, record Canadian numbers that the U.S. networks don't care about. I think they can sell it.
Bucks does make a certain amount of sense.
Like, I thought ten teams get a Christmas Day game.
Yeah, I thought it would be Sixers just because, like, the shot, and that was the closest they came to not winning a series.
Yeah.
Do you think here's the question. Do they get a Christmas Day game if Kawhi leaves?
I think you have to give them one regardless.
They're the champions.
And does that change the matchup?
They're the NBA.
Because if Kawhi stays,
champions.
You can do Kawhi versus who? It doesn't matter. It's like Kawhi versus Giannis, Kawhi versus Embiid. It doesn't matter. But if he leaves, I could see them being like, oh, okay, well, we want maybe LeBron versus Giannis.
Yeah.
And then the Raptors don't have that number one star.
If he leaves, I would do Kawhi returns to Toronto on Christmas Day.
Mm.
See, my issue with that, though, is like this goes back to what we've talked about with like the Jays giveaways. It's like, why burn a guaranteed amazing TV game on Christmas Day when it's the Christmas Day spectacle itself that sells it?
Spurs isn't bad.
They definitely get like the noon game regardless, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bucks or Sixers seems right to me.
Well, I'm not complaining about the noon game. I would like to spend a little bit of time with my family later.
Noon game is not a negative, but I can see it. I can see the fans be like, oh, they're not getting the primetime slot. It's like, for sure they're not. They don't get the ratings. Absolutely not.
Also, they're not based on the West Coast.
Yeah.
They won the title.
Stop with this stuff.
Last question. What's the best pairing? Shout out to Kawhi Leonard. What's the best pairing of alcohol and dessert?
Do Irish coffees count as a dessert?
I think they could count as your beverage or your dessert.
Yeah,
it's
not like,
oh, it's a pair.
It's not like what's the best alcoholic dessert. It's what's alcohol and dessert.
Oh.
If you were on the Kawhi Leonard summer diet where it was alcohol and desserts all the time.
I'm really a dessert guy. I don't know.
That's wild.
I prefer savory. I'll take more of the meal over dessert every time.
Okay. So you just having like chips and a beer?
I mean, yeah, it's a great combination.
It's absolutely a great combination.
It's an excellent combination.
Cheesecake and champagne is pretty hard to beat. I know you don't like cheesecake, but
yeah. I track the beers that I try in this stupid Untappd app. And I researched this question ahead of time to make sure I was remembering the name of the beer right. One of my favorite beers that I've ever tried is something called the Black Butte Porter from Deschutes Brewery in Portland. It's like a chocolatey, vanilla-y stout, or porter, sorry, not stout. I feel like it would be incredible with a really rich piece of chocolate cake.
Oh, yeah.
Just like, I'm not a big porters and stouts guy, but you give me a good piece of chocolate with that. I feel like that's a sweet spot. But I'm also a very boring dessert person.
Yeah,
I just want chocolate cake.
I feel like I would go, if we want to get fancy up in here.
Yes.
A nice port.
Uh-huh.
Because we're talking desserts right after dinner. A nice port and like good chocolate.
Mm.
Not chocolate cake, like good, like.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know, like what Ghirardelli's chocolate or something.
Might be champagne and tiramisu. I don't care if that makes me a little.
I like that.
Because tiramisu tastes like coffee. I love it. You know, before we move on, something I want to mention with this alcohol and dessert and fun guy and the board man gets paid and all this stuff with Kawhi. Something that Alex Wong and William Liu brought up in their Kawhi Watch video that I hadn't thought of, that to me is an excellent indicator for how wonderfully well the Kawhi-Toronto relationship went, is how marketable Kawhi Leonard became all of a sudden.
Yeah.
Where it was like
New Balance.
He's this quiet guy that it's hard to get. Every word he said for the last 3 months became a t-shirt that sold out in 10 seconds. Those shoes that are ugly, that have nothing to do with Kawhi Leonard, sold out.
Oh, that are $300.
They're terrible. Holy shit.
They have nothing to do with Kawhi Leonard other than that they're purple. Sold out immediately.
New Balance, the historically most boring pedestrian dad shoe company that exists.
Perfect.
Is now the hottest shoe company.
Everyone in this city is wearing New Balance.
Yep.
Constantly.
Yeah.
That, to me, doesn't happen if he's the third best player on the Clippers or on the Lakers, or if he's like the guy the team goes and gets to help, right?
The thing is, he's going to be the best player on the Lakers.
No, but you understand what I
mean. Yes, I do know what you mean.
Understand.
That's LeBron's team.
A team brings him in to complete their set.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Whereas he is God. A dude is, he can never play again. He could sign a 5-year max and then literally do alcohol and desserts and get fat and slowly deteriorate and barely play. And
he's a god here forever.
He will be minted.
Yeah.
I think he's staying.
I do too.
Anyway, we will be right back with the flagship portion of the show, available for purchase right after this. It's Sad Not Sad.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey, we're back. This is it. What a show. I wish this show was 3 hours long. I have like another whole list of things I could ask Blake about basketball and baseball.
Yeah,
and
I mean, we could be here for 4 hours, Blake.
For sure. Speaking of hockey,
we can do that one day. We'll find like some charitable cause.
I would love to.
I was thinking about that last week. Do a 24-hour pod.
Oh boy,
for something.
24 is a lot.
I know, but I think it'd be fun.
Put it on.
Like, it wouldn't be fun. By like hour five, I'd be like, 100%. This is a terrible idea.
It would be if not right now when we've done. Anyway, speaking of things, before we get into Sad Not Sad, the Maple Leafs also exist.
Yeah,
lots of rumors going around about Zaitsev, about Marleau, about Marner. Our next show, we're taking the week off. Our next show will be July 2nd, right after free agency. So we're going to know, probably going to know Kawhi.
Well, yes, I would assume we definitely know Kawhi. We'll know Gasol.
We'll know Gasol. And then we're going to know a lot of Leaf stuff. Yeah. We're not going to dig into the rumors because we don't know anything yet. They have no first round pick, but there has been a lot of buzz about what they may or may not do at the draft on Friday. So our next show, July 2nd, free agency version of Sportsfeld. Lots to dig into, I bet. I guarantee there's going to be a lot of action.
I think so.
The whole skate.
I think there's going to be a lot of action basketball-wise today.
Yes. I believe Blake said in the green room, the rumor that it may be the most active trade draft ever.
Woj predicted that the record of 13 first-round picks traded in a draft will be broken.
Awesome.
Amazing. So look forward to that because we love transactions. So we're through the, oh, great, playoff games. Oh, great, a championship. We're into transactions, baby. we're into who might sign where.
It's your favorite.
It's the greatest part. We've simmed through the playoffs. We've arrived at the reason we play the game, and that is the transactions in the draft. So I look forward to that. As we said, July 2nd.
Exciting stuff.
Free agency trades can be great. We move into Sad Not Sad.
Yeah.
Jake Goldsby, are you sad or not sad?
I'm not sad.
What's there to be sad about?
And I'm not sad for a professional reason.
Hey now.
Which is new.
We love to hear it.
So I mentioned a couple weeks ago that I had booked a day on an acting gig, which is great.
Yes, you did.
Yesterday, I went in for a hair consult, which took half an hour.
I'd love one of those.
I was just in the... it was basically to find out if they were putting a wig on me or not.
And?
They are.
Yes.
I was on... Not even on the set. Just like in the like trailer... lot area.
The biz.
And I left with this like, I don't know if it was like, it. I left with this feeling of like motivation to make, like obviously I've been having a lot of doubts about my career path in the last few months as has been well documented here.
Sure.
But I left there just being like, and I know you've mentioned this before too, about like when you were like doing Yahoo stuff and you're on air and you're like, man, I fucking love doing that. And then I left set just with this feeling of like, I didn't do anything, by the way. I was there for half an hour. Didn't shoot anything. Didn't say a line.
That's the biz, baby.
Just like, yeah. And then I left with that feeling of like, man, I just fucking love being on set.
Hell yes.
And it was this like motivating feeling of like, yeah, it's easy to say this when like you have a job, even if it's a day.
For sure.
But it's like, okay, now I need to, now if this has been, because it's been a couple years since I've been on a set, now this has been solidified in my brain. So now I need to form my plan of how to make sure I can support myself and make this the plan. That makes sense.
It does.
Which is obviously what I've been trying to do.
Sure.
But now I have a very defined experience to be like, yeah, no, this is like, it just, I had just a buzz leaving yesterday. And like, again, didn't do anything. It was like, man, I fucking love just being around that and being in those environments. And it's just gives me a little pep in my step kind of thing. And so it was a nice, motivating, positive experience. Be like, okay, this is not going to be an easy thing to figure out.
Sure.
Because it's not a smart or easy path to take, but it was a nice hammering home that this is the path I want to take. And now let's figure out how to do that, I think was what I took away from that, rather than the last few months of just like wallowing and being like, boy, what a stupid fucking decision this was for your life.
Right. It's the business you love.
Yeah. Like, it was nice to get that like reformation on that.
I love to hear it.
Yeah, it was great.
I love to hear it. Blake, are you sad or not sad?
I'm not sad.
Yes.
We have the G1 blocks now.
Hell yes. Finally.
There it is. I was waiting for the talk to come out.
Raptors championship, whatever.
Almost.
We got the
it.
G1 blocks now. No, it's obviously it's been an incredible couple of weeks and months professionally and personally covering a championship run. I had no idea what it'd be like. It was fucking awesome.
Hell yeah.
It was so much fun. I'm so tired and I don't get a day off for like another 3 or 4 weeks still. But it's been it was really cool. I like, that's a career highlight. Like, you don't get better runs than that. So I'm still kind of riding that high.
I'm also not sad. I am, and I'm gonna go also sport. I don't care that it's a whole sports podcast. We
do
just
it.
Talk sports for an hour and 10 minutes.
Sports are great.
I am so converted. You can track this back to how far back and my need to doubt and my need to quell enthusiasm and my need to make sure we're not all here pom poms and like the team's so great. The Raptors are going to win the 2020 NBA title. They're the best team in basketball. Kawhi is staying. They're going to run it back. There is no big contender in the way. The Celtics are done. The Sixers are either going to pay a monumental tax bill or take a step back because Kawhi has ruined Ben Simmons' life.
Well, and Jimmy Butler's probably leaving.
He's probably leaving. And the only one in there is a Lakers team that only has two players on it.
Here's the thing.
And they have so much to get through to even approach the finals with the Raptors. The Raptors, who will be finalists' favorites because they have Kawhi and they figured it out and he trusts them and he loves it here. It was the parade. It was the fucking parade. the way that you almost see it over the course of the day where he was like, championship parade, I know what I'm doing. And then it took so long and he just like, man, there are so many people here and I am minted forever. And every word I say becomes a catchphrase and becomes a t-shirt. Words I said years ago. He said Boardman gets paid like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
And someone writes it up and boom, it's a t-shirt and boom, it sells out. And he gets to wear it to a parade. And when he did the laugh on stage.
Was so good.
I was like, this dude is 100% aware of this.
Yeah. There's been a lot of questions of his self-awareness of his thing, but he is.
Palm of his hand.
Yeah.
Palm of his enormous hand. He is 100% aware that if he goes to the Clippers, he's just another dude. He's a great player and he helps the team and maybe he does it all over again, but three franchises in 3 years? Another whole coaching staff and he has to learn all this crap when he just watched this team completely morph into his personality. And say, we are going where you take us, man. And he brought it. And now he knows I get murals. I get literally a million fans. I can go coast to coast.
Literal key to the city.
Literally a key to the city in my first season. I can play however I want, as much as I want. I can lean on guys. I can share the wealth. He's just learning these dudes. Like, he's only played a handful of games with Marc Gasol.
Here's the thing. I agree with
you. He's staying and they're winning the title.
Not only are they winning the title, they're beating the Lakers.
Yeah.
And LeBronto is going to die.
It's over, baby. It's a wrap.
Yeah.
Raptors. I can't believe it. I'm so in. And if it doesn't happen, that's fine too.
Yeah, they won a title.
Whatever.
If it doesn't happen, you guys finally get to break the streak of not sads on here.
That's right.
You have a quick sad.
And even then, it's like, I've said this for weeks.
We just thank him.
Said this for weeks.
Appreciate
and
it.
It was true then. It's more true now that they've actually done the damn thing. The minute it comes down that he's not staying will suck, unquestionably. But like a couple hours later, it's like, what else could he have done?
Yeah, he's not taking the title with him.
Yeah, what else could he have possibly done for us?
He's not taking it because Kyle's holding
the
it.
The bet went...
And you made the you made the point in your piece yesterday, I want to say, when you were talking in the odds of people staying. Mm-hmm. You made the point where not only has Kawhi given us everything that he could have, the Raptors did literally everything possible.
Yeah.
There is nothing in this situation where if he leaves, you're like, well, if they had... No, they did everything possible. He did everything possible for us. If he leaves, it sucks, but like, that's fine. But if he stays, he's God, and the Raptors are going to win the title next year.
The downside, like the worst case scenario of Kawhi has gone absolutely perfectly, where there's like, there will be no questions of could the Raptors have done this, or maybe this would have been different. There's no, oh, they only got to the second round and failed in the same spot. It's like the bet that they took was like, well, maybe we can get him to stay, and if not, that 1 year will be worth it and we'll do the best job we can. And they absolutely nailed that part.
I feel like, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like if he leaves, he was always leaving.
Yes, that's
right. If he leaves, there was no like selling him.
No, short of like it coming out after that, like he secretly hated Masai or something. Like, which,
yeah,
which,
whatever.
Actually, he's just really pro security guard.
you can get slapped if that's what's
but,
up.
But you know what? Even if he did, even does come out that he secretly hated Masai, whatever.
That's
fine. He played through it and won a title.
Nobody who knows Masai could hate Masai.
No.
But yeah, it's
if he leaves, there was no chance of him staying.
Right, and then in that case, they absolutely maximized the 1 year they had with him. So.
Yes.
You literally can't maximize it more than winning the title.
And my one point on Masai is that he cannot lose the situation.
No.
Either he exposes this guy as a liar, or he got disrespected and slapped a cop. What's up?
Yeah.
Yeah. A shitty cop profiled the most powerful black man in the building.
You fucked up and I buckled you. What's up?
Yeah. Also, like, that it's gone now that, like, the body cam shut off. He had jaw damage. There's a concussion.
Of course.
We've established that if Masai is guilty, he has the best right hand in the business.
Dropped that dude.
And it sounds like if Masai is guilty, he just pushed the guy back who pushed him, and Masai doesn't give a fuck that he's a security guard.
That's what happened. There's no way this is going to, like, the whole story is going to come out and it's going to look good for the security guard. Like,
no. And it's like, going to look bad for the police department too, who's for standing by this
asshole. They've already backtracked on two things. The police department has already backtracked on two things they said. First, they told reporters the morning after that he was checked out and he was uninjured. Now, concussions can have symptoms.
It's the old Lionel Hutz telling Bart that he's more injured than he was.
Yeah. Like concussions can show symptoms later, but like he was checked out and then afterwards suffered jaw damage.
10 more minutes.
Yes. And then also the fact that first the cops were like, no, we have body cam footage. And now there's no body cam footage. It's other footage. On top of which there are multiple witnesses being like, that didn't happen.
It's almost like bad cops are liars.
Masai's going to get $5 million in a first round pick out of that police department.
I scared. So I was on CBC, I think the Saturday. Yeah, the Saturday I did a CBC hit. And like when you do a TV one, they do kind of a pre-interview with you to like basically so the host has an idea of what you're saying. And so you can like find some sort of cadence and stuff like that. And I think I scared them when they asked me about the cop thing because my response was very aggressive.
Of course.
And I was like, okay, I promise I'll tone it down on the actual broadcast. But they were like, the look I got was just like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Imagine taking the cop's side in this fucking thing.
Couldn't be me. Anyway.
Yeah.
That is it. That was a great show. I'm very happy. And excited.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I wish this show, again, was 3 hours long, but...
One day.
I digress.
We'll do it one day.
We must move on. That's it. Blake, thank you so much for coming in. Thank you for...
Thanks for taking the time of, like, your morning where you don't do it.
Always. And for always,
we're talking all these the assholes. Content
and all the information. We are smarter for having read you.
I would say that. The whole fan base is smarter
absolutely.
For having read you.
You raise us up. That.
No, I think it's absolutely true.
Yeah, because I would have known the fucking obscure CBA shit if you hadn't been there. Yeah, for sure. Anyway, Blake, thank you for coming. Thank you for helping us catch all his work at The Athletic and at Blake Murphy ODC on Twitter. And for you folks, we'll be back, as we said, July 2nd for free agency rundowns. We're going to have a lot of moves. I guarantee there will be a lot of crazy transactions because sports are crazy. The Jays will still be bad. That's the only thing I can guarantee you.
Yeah, might be worse.
Almost definitely. We'll know he stay, he go. We'll know the Leafs.
It will be a different world the next time we talk.
It's going to be great. I can't wait. And in the meantime, we thank you very much for listening to Sportsfeld.
Sportsfeld!
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah. Oh. Sorry, we were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.